Welcome to the mikvah.org podcast. The mikvah organization has been dedicated to the education and resources for Jewish family life since 1975-5735. You can support our vital work at mikvah.org/donate. Thank you for your support and enjoy today's recording. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Mikvah.org podcast. My name is Kasi Rifkin. I'm your host for today. Today, we are going to have a book review, actually. I have the honor of speaking with Mrs. Malka Tauger, who is a renowned speaker and educator for many, many years. And she has recently published a book under Feldheim called More Than Meets the Eye, A Conversation About Tznius. So, Mrs. Tauger, if you can just give us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to writing this book.
So it's not just a conversation about tznius, it's a thoughtful, insightful look at tznius. That's what the book is all about. I wasn't conversing with anyone except for myself and hoping that people would just read and gain some insight. So where did this begin? It began with COVID. I was not traveling or lecturing and thought to myself, what can I do with my time that will be useful first and foremost for myself? I'd like to gain some more insight, some more understanding, and perhaps then translate that into conveying that to others of what tznius is all about. We obviously need improvement in all areas of tznius and wanted to do this to see what we can do. So first and foremost, I went to teachers and asked them, what are we doing in schools about tznius? Because I remember I didn't learn much about it. And I was wondering, there must be some material out there that you're using in classes. I'd like to have access to that just for myself personally. And they said, no, we don't teach tznius. I said, oh, that's interesting. Why don't we teach tznius? Look what could happen if we do teach tznius. First of all, as a subject in school, if we teach it instead of preach it, that might bring about some kind of deeper understanding and improvement in the actual adherence to halacha of tznius. I'm not talking about halacha. I think that people should learn halacha of tznius in shiurei halacha, in halacha classes. Just like we learn hashkafa about Shabbos, hashkafa about chassidishkeit, and then we learn the halachas of Shabbos, or various different halachas that pertain to something we had learned about hashkafa, siddis, etc. So if we learn it as in halacha class, that covers that. And the hashkafa should be a total different type of class. And the very fact that we're teaching it in school implies that, oh, I didn't really like geometry when I was growing up, but it was part of the curriculum, so I had to learn it. So it's just one of those topics that we'll just learn because it's part of the curriculum and I go to the school, so I'll learn it. So Bein Beratzon Bein Ba'ana somehow will kind of introduce our students to this as a topic that should be studied. So the teacher said, no, we don't teach it because we don't have enough material. I said, enough material? I mean, we hear about tznius all the time, or we should maybe, but it's been around. I remember years ago when I wrote the booklet, Just My Style, we used it in schools. I presented with it. It was not a topic that wasn't addressed. And so the teachers responded by saying, yeah, but that was written for bas mitzvah age girls, even though Beninu, I used it also for high school and even in seminary. But it's just rehashed material and there's not other material available to teach. So we're teaching the same thing and on that level, and it just doesn't help the girls and it doesn't help the adults either, I realize. So, okay.
So the Just My Style book that you mentioned, that you referenced, I have a question for you about that. That dealt more with the halacha than this book does? Because I did read this book for everyone who's listening and I do see how it's like focusing
Thank you, Chassi.
On the hashkafa of tznius. It's not going into the nitty gritty about, you know, this opinion or that opinion about the different, you know, what dress might look at. Because when we backtrack and go backwards, we see that tznius is a much bigger picture than the specific halachas that are only one part of tznius that, you know, refer to with the way, you know, it would reflect in our dress. As we look at it hashkafically, tznius is a broader picture. It's all of our actions. It's men and women, and you address all of that. So how does Just My Style compare that, you know, that didn't work for today's high school, but this would?
Well, that was not written for high school.
Okay.
It was written as a kind of conversation class to have with grade school, bas mitzvah age and up, maybe eight. Then I found out it was being used also in high school. But that's history.
Right.
That is not what I had in mind now. I thought to myself, okay, COVID year, I'm not moving. What can I do? So I did not move. I sat and I opened up Baruch Hashem. We're very lucky. My husband works in translations and in writing. So we have access to all Hebrew libraries, right online, not just online, but actually in programs. So I was able to go through slowly, step by step, to see if indeed the teachers were right, that there was no material on the topic of the Hashkafa of Tznius. It took me many months, almost an entire year. Every time I found an idea that kind of caught me, I said, okay, not thinking about it too much, I'll just write it down. Thank you, Hashem, for computers. Put it in a folder. And after many months, I said, these are a lot of ideas. Now, what do I do with them? Oh, let me take them and thread them together under some kind of topics. What topics? I don't know. We'll just see what makes sense to put things to, you know, this idea and that idea together. That's the way they were kind of evolved. And I ended up with 10 chapters. And I said, whoa, this is a lot of material. This is enough to write a curriculum on. The topic of curriculum was also broached, and alongside the book itself, a curriculum was being written. A school had sponsored the curriculum, and the intention was indeed for the curriculum initially, but based on the material that I had put together, not necessarily as a book, but rather as a teacher's guide. And the teacher was supposed to read that and then use the curriculum content, which I just like to mention. It was, we opened it to various different teachers to see who would like to participate in this. And a number of teachers gave samples, and the one who was chosen, because her sample was good and appropriate, was Sara Michal Tauber, who just happens to be my daughter-in-law, but I was not part of that decision-making. I'm just very proud of her work. In any case, this became a real product, except that it was not concluded because the money ran out. At some point, as we were going through this process, it's half done, by the way, any sponsors out there? So
if you're listening to this and you want to, and you see the book and you love it and you want to bring it into schools, you can contact Mrs. Tauger to get the curriculum done, because obviously curriculum is more than just the sources in a book. It requires all the thoughtful attention that teachers need. Okay.
Thank you. It's definitely curriculum that was written with Lubavitch in mind, although the book itself is open to all different denominations and types of communities, etc. And what happened was, so at that point, I said, okay, let's see what will happen with the curriculum. Let me focus on the book. I want to write this book. I want to make sure it's published. I want to get it out. It's helped me understand a lot of things about tznius, and I think that there's a message here. And I have time. It's COVID, so let's do it. It's interesting to note that I wanted a publisher, and I wanted to be addressing the wider audience and not just Lubavitch. So I, first of all, I included many, many mikoros that I found in Chassidus, of course, but also many, many, many others. And so the book is a real compilation coming from many different sources. It's very much source-oriented. Anybody who's familiar with my type of lecturing, whether it be Tarsim Mishpacha or other things, I always like sources. That's my frame of reference. That's our anchor. And from that, we go on to discussion. So I contacted, with a lot of help from others, various different Hebrew books publishers. And the first one I went to, I really wanted them to publish the book. And they said, you know, this is a really good book. This was a prominent rabbi who I highly respect. And he said, this book has never been written before. It's a book that needs to be written. And thank you for writing it, but we're not going to publish it. And I said, why not? If it needs to be written and has been, so why not publish it? I said, so because this is not a very popular topic. Oh, Okay, let's try again elsewhere. I did, Baruch Hashem. It's been published. It's out there. But he was right. I mean, I don't think he was right about not publishing the book. I think he was right about this is not a very popular topic. I know
This isn't
that
a
for
popular
myself.
topic, but I'd also like to say that someone who's read the book, it's also, it's not someone that something that someone's going to pick up as an easy read as a novel. This is a learning book. You know, it's, as you said, it's source based. That's your anchor. That's your reference. And so it goes through a lot of sources. It's learning, but it's looking at Sneas from a wider angle.
Yes, and more. Beyond
Okay.
the sources, there's also discussion. There's also applying oneself to the various different angles of Tznius, as you said before, which I want to comment in a minute. But there are also stories. You know, anybody who
Yes.
knows me knows I'm not going to get any kind of written material without a story or two or three or 10.
And the
I
stories
think.
are really an enjoyable part of the book. So I'm going to encourage everyone, you know, when looking at this book, it isn't just, oh my goodness, sources and reading. The stories definitely help, you know, bring the message from the source into something you can relate to in today, because you're hearing it through a story, which is beautiful.
Thank you, Chassi. I actually want to comment on the stories because there are actually numerous books, and I combed through many of them on the topic of Tznius, and they're chock full of stories, which is nice, except for the schnitt, like they're typical stories of this and this person followed the guidelines of Tznius, lived a lifestyle of Tznius, and they had so and so many brachas and so many wonderful things happened to them. I wanted to shy away from that. That didn't sit well with me, firstly, because as a young person growing up, I remember specifically growing up in Israel, and you know that's very much a style there. And I said, wait a minute, I know a lot of people who adhere to Tznius and they didn't have that those many brachas. Like, this is not a very good way to convey messages. I think this applies to us from a Lubavitch perspective and all the stories. My husband and I have been involved in writing stories, both about the Rebbe as well about as Shluchim. So we're very into that, and we think that that's a good medium. But that's not the beginning, middle, and end of conveying messages. So the stories that I used, and thank you, Chassi, for noticing that, they're instructive. They have a message. They support the content, and so on and so forth. So that they prove to be quite helpful in that regard. So thank you for
When we talk
noticing
about
that.
it, though, with the blessings, it's more because every mitzvah we do gives a keli for a blessing, but it's not necessarily a blessing that our revealed eye is going to translate. So when we go and say this mitzvah equals that blessing, it doesn't, that formula doesn't always work.
100%. Although it's interesting that especially in the situation that we are right now, and I'm actually pushing this point, but not because it's a story, because it's not, but it's actually the only source in Torah that connects Hashem's promise for protection to Am Yisrael is in connection with Tznius. Ki Hashem Elokecha mitalech b'machanecha lehatzilcha, machane, tzava, army, fighting, lehatzilcha, to save you, to literally save your life. If there was any time we needed that, it's right now. But the condition there, v'lo yebecha ervat davar, and there shouldn't be the opposite of Tznius, erva, in your surroundings. So, and that's the only time that Hashem conditions Hatzalah on a particular act. Only time in all of the Tanakh that we have that. So that's pretty telling. But that's Hashem speaking to us. That's not a story promising all kinds of wonders and miracles.
Right. I mean, we do have other mitzvahs connected as we have from later sources, but we'll keep it focused on the
okay.
Tznius.
So that's the point. One of my goals in writing this book was that it was kind of redeeming, maybe because hostages aren't on mine, maybe because captives aren't on mine. It was a kind of pidyon shvuim. We have to go out there and podeh and kind of redeem Tznius from the place it got stuck. It got stuck in necklines, sleeves, tight pants for boys, tight skirts for girls. This is cross, male and female. And it just kind of got stuck there. And every time we tried to speak about Sneas, you know, I started rolling and nobody was interested. So that was intentional, that I wanted to really focus on the Teichen, to focus on the sources, to focus on the philosophy behind it. And as Chassi mentioned, the first chapter is called What is Sneas? And the bottom line is, it's a way of life. And I bring sources for that and explanations about that. And then, of course, we can't overlook the attire and appearance and presenting himself, in other words, clothing. So that has to include it, but that's chapter 7. So the point was that we need a very wide, comfortable, pleasant foundation upon which to build a deeper understanding on how clothing plays an important role in SNEAS.
Okay.
Is there
Thank you.
I could continue. I'm just waiting for you to comment. Okay. But I don't want to.
Okay. So now that you've written this book and you've, you know, talked about how you got into this book, what would you say is the primary application for this book? How can people use it?
So initially, I went go back to the curriculum idea. So I thought it would be a teacher's guide. And it would be basically, you know, purchased by teachers primarily. And they would use it as sources because their complaint was there's not material. So here's material. Now use it in any way you would like, which, by the way, kind of sheds light on the idea behind the curriculum, which hopefully one day will come out, is that there's a lot of material offered in the curriculum based on the book. It's not additional material from the book or to the book, but rather various options, many different ideas on how to convey various different thoughts and taichen and content of the book. But the idea behind this was not to tell a teacher kazeh re'eh v'kadesh. Quite the contrary, choose what you like, what speaks to you, an idea that you feel identified with, and use that, or just use the idea and don't use the medium that's suggested in the curriculum. And I make the same suggestion to people that are reading the book. You know, different people, and that's why I applaud and I cheer and I salute anybody that comes out with anything on this topic, because different strokes for different folks, different ideas. You know, it's so interesting that sometimes a woman will come back to me and say, I really love this idea. And that particular idea was one that I was debating. Should I put it in? Should I not put it in? Does it carry weight? Will it speak to anyone? You know, some of the ideas that people love, I love too. Some of them, okay. And some of them that I love and really identified with, other people said, I don't quite get that one. That, I should have sent it to another editor. But don't mention it. So it's important that everything should come out from whichever which direction. I remember, and I'm not blowing my horn in any way, but I remember the first book that was written. I am bringing this up. It's a gazon. I'm bringing this up because I'm speaking to somebody from mikvah.org. And the first book that came out on Taras HaMishpacha, written by a woman and in the manner with Hashkafa that was written, was the book I wrote for Tehillah Abramov called The Secret of Jewish Femininity. And that became a staple. It was translated in numerous languages. And I thought that Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem for the opportunity to be part of something good. But the good part of it was not that it was the only book that was around and used by many, but good part of it was that shortly afterwards, people started writing on the topic. People started addressing Taras HaMishpacha. Oh, this is a conversation piece. Oh, this is something to be studied. Oh, the Hashkafa is something that we could actually open to the wide audience. Halacha should be taught individually from Kala teacher. Even the Hashkafa should be taught, you know, from Kala teacher to the Kala. But the idea that one book comes out and that prompts more interest in the topic and addressing it from different angles, Baruch Hashem.
So you're saying you're welcoming that this book on SNEAS should be a springboard for many people to compile their thoughts on SNEAS, and it should be a household topic. As
well, I'll tell you. I'll add something else. People who know me know that I like to start new ventures, walk the path that hasn't been trodden upon, you know, and the Eibishter gave me a little bit of a gift of both creativity as well as maybe chutzpah and maybe daring. And I kind of dared with this, meaning who's going to read a book on SNEAS? And more important than that, who am I to talk about SNEAS? I have so much more to learn myself. I have so much more to improve myself. I have so much more to really investigate on this topic. How could I even dare to write a book about it? So I try to be very cautious in bringing what it says in the sources and finding sources for everything that I wrote, or at least the majority of things I wrote. But I think this in itself is a message, and whoever out there is hearing this, don't be timid. Okay, so I'm not the perfect sneeze lady. Asma, I learned this, and I'd like to share this idea with you. It's okay. The Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash had to wear this very long garpu. It was called the Avnet. And it's described in Torah how, because it was so long, one helped the other gird the other in the garpu. We can help each other with our presentation of self. We can make a comment. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. And in that in of itself, I feel, is a very important comment. It makes this more mainstream conversation, not who do you think you are that you're commenting. Let's make it a more pleasant arena for conversation.
Okay, thank you. So I guess in conclusion, you know, we talk about, you know, this book, can, you have primarily thought about it for teachers, but we'd hope that everyone can sort of, mothers as well, you know, girls as well, can buy this in order to be able to look at the sources and kind of gain a more thoughtful look at SNEAS. I believe that's actually part of your even description of the book, a thoughtful look at SNEAS, to see it as, you know, I've mentioned a couple of times, if we can go back to that, what do I mean by a wider angle of SNEAS when we're talking about it, you know, before we get into the actual halachais, which aren't really touched upon so much in this book, when we're talking about wider angle, if you could just briefly, I guess, address to us, you had said, let me clarify my question. My question is, you know, you had said, like, find what speaks to you. So I guess I have a question is it fine to just read this book out of order? Or are you building a case and we should follow along for this wider angle?
Thank you for that question. I'm not building any cases. Everybody can open it at any given page, look, read, enjoy, learn something, move on. Or open it, as I told to one of my friends who was reading this book on Shabbos after, I said, listen, start with the stories, read them, and then go back to the beginning. But it's nice, but other women have mentioned that I like the story actually when it comes within the context of the teichen, of the source, because then I enjoy the story more. I can learn and read more into the story. To each your own, bakasha. But definitely there was a buildup. The first chapter, I think I mentioned before, what is sneers?
So there's not building a case, but there is a buildup. So if you're reading it out of order, you might be missing some of the buildup.
Definitely, it's important because I'm very into language. SNEAS, I often, when I lecture on this topic, I ask my students or even women, so what does SNEAS mean? And they don't have a ready answer. In the first chapter, it's defined from many different angles, and that was the point. Many people are not even familiar with the Hebrew root of SNEAS, which is Tzadik Nun Ayin, which literally translates as Tzena, which means hidden, which people don't really like, because does that mean to hide ourselves? Which is why I opened the chapter with what is SNEAS. Let's explore where it's mentioned in Torah, only in two places. You think the way they talk about it or preach it constantly, you think it would be mentioned very often in Tanakh, and it's not, only in two places. Bring that, try to explore why there, what is the Ibishter's message to us within that? And more important, in order to understand what this word means, what this Shorish Tzadik Nun Ayin means, I went to Torah Shebal Peh, established that, of course, Torah Shebal Peh is the way we learn Torah Shebichtav, and found various different usages of that word in Torah Shebal Peh, and from that squeezed out and extracted, oh, so this also is SNEAS. Oh, so this also, our sages didn't choose this word that is a conjugation of the Shorish Tzadik Nun Ayin, just, you know, because they were looking for an accommodating word to use. They wanted to hone in. So why is it that this word was used in that context? And you'll see, and many of them are not bichlal connected, not to clothing, not to attire, not to presentation, most important, to midos. Just a quick array. So then once we understand what it is, going back to the first explanation, hidden. What's hidden? What are we supposed to hide here? And what's the value of hiddenness, which is chapter number two. And then we go on and on, external and internal, and the concept of connection between SNEAS and Kedusha. Like, everything is connected to Kedusha, but there seems to be an uncanny connection between SNEAS and Kedusha. So if our lives are supposed to be focused on trying to focus in on the Kadosh part within ourselves, the Kedusha that's in the world, the Eibishter's Kedusha, et cetera, Oh, I felt that there were enough sources to kind of build a chapter on drawing that connection. And then I wanted to have a chapter on beauty. Wait a minute. Beauty, external attractivity. Yes, and yes, that has to go in there because we need to understand this from a total perspective. We're talking about presentation of self, again, not only clothing. So what's with the beauty thing? So there's an entire chapter on that from a Torah perspective. Then we come to the clothing. And then we understand that beyond the presentation of self as a whole, Hashem pays attention to detail. We know that God's in the detail. So where do details play such an important part in this whole overall picture, generally in Sneas? Not so general. And then the bottom line of the entire approach to living the life of Tznius and living the life as a Yid is Kabbalah Sof. It doesn't work without that. I'm not preaching and saying fluff. It's so easy and it's something that's within your grasp without thinking too much. And well, we do. We live in a community, in a wider community of the entire world. And it's not so easy if we don't understand the component there. And then the last chapter I thought was very important because I also began with asking people, so what are the questions you always have about sneakers? And one of the very common ones, usually from younger people, because adults usually understand this a bit more. Wait a minute. What do I have? What kind of responsibility do I have in my surrounding? Somebody, this is not appropriate for somebody else. Let that somebody look aside. Why do I have to change my comfort zone? Why do I have to go out of my comfort zone just because this is about my surroundings? So I couldn't overlook that because that's totally connected to our appearance, presentation, ourselves, and definitely an important component of sneaks. So there it is. Those are all there the chapters.
And went through all the chapters, went through the build-up, right, and what your wider angle is. Yeah. And you, and I'm just going to mention some key points that I found like interesting when you talk about, you know, why the face and the hands are meant to be uncovered, right? Because that does reveal the neshama accurately, and so that doesn't need to be hidden. I was to give that, you know, that's one little nugget. That's something that spoke to me, as you said, different people.
May I interject?
Yes.
Panim is the same word as pnim.
Inside.
That's the connection to that idea.
Right. So, you know, different points where you think, oh, I never thought about it that way, or that's an interesting point to consider. And as you said, you know, younger people or older people might have different, previous conceptions about misconceptions or ideas about things, maybe not misconceptions, maybe yes, you know, actual ideas, but it's always helpful when we anchor this in sources and we understand where this is coming from. This is not just a mitzvah with arbitrary rules, but they're all reflection of deeper ideas of really hosting, of our body hosting our neshama. So I would like to let everyone know who's listening out there, that mikvah.org does have this book on our mall. It's mikvah.org/mall. And you can go ahead and purchase it there. And is there anything else you'd like to conclude with, Mrs. Tauger, to conclude this conversation?
Okay, I would conclude by saying my most intense desire is that this book should open conversation on sneezes. Delete the eye rolling, delete the smirking, delete the uncomfortable feeling that people may have with this topic, maybe in a way to prove that this topic is not so unpopular. Let's make it popular again, but in a comfortable, pleasant, learning and enjoyable and dialogue kind of way. If that happens from this book, thank you, Asha.
Okay. Well, I encourage everyone to go out there, read it, hear the sources. Let's refocus Nias on the way Hashem intended it for us to be. And it's not arbitrary. It's sourced. And thank you, Mrs. Tauger, for taking the time to write this book. It's one of those silver linings of COVID, as we'd say. And may it really be a conduit for blessing for as you said, you know, our current times. We are dealing with hostages and Mechama, and we want to we definitely want to draw Hashem's blessings into our Machane. So thank
amen
you.
Amen. Thank you, Chassi.
We hope you enjoyed today's recording. Please take a moment to leave a rating or a review to help others find the podcast. We welcome you to support our vital work at mikvah.org/donate. For feedback, please email podcast@mikvah.org. Have a wonderful day.